then welcome. You are our honored guest. If you would, take out one of those cards if you are visiting with us that's in front of you. Fill that out and put it in the box at the back of the auditorium. That's just so we can express our appreciation for you being here with us this morning. It's been said quite often in our society, seeing is believing, especially in several popular Christmas movies. I think the Santa Claus has that phrase with the movie with Tim Allen and the Polar Express, the animated movie that came out several years ago, all express this phrase, seeing is believing. But the Bible teaches something different. The Bible tells us rather than seeing is believing, the Bible says that seeing is becoming. Seeing is becoming. You become like what you behold. All of us as Christians are in the process of a transformation. We are in the process of being transformed. We are becoming something different continuously as the Holy Spirit untangles this web of our old sinful nature and gives us a new glorious perspective. Here's how this beautiful and wonderful change comes about. A steady gaze, a fixation on the glory of Jesus Christ. Seeing is becoming. When I think about my job and my role as an evangelist slash preacher, my job as a preacher is to help all of us to see more clearly the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ so that we all may be continually transformed into His image. So, this morning, we are going to do just that. We are going to take an end-of-the-year look at the glory of Jesus Christ through one of the most important events in the earthly life of Jesus, and that is what Derek read for us a moment ago, the transfiguration of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you would, take out your Bibles with me and turn to Luke chapter 9. There are different accounts of this event within the Synoptic Gospels of the Transfiguration. The Transfiguration is found in Matthew chapter 17. It's also found in Mark chapter 9 as well as Luke chapter 9. We're going to be focusing mainly on Luke's account of the Transfiguration, but we're going to be flipping back and forth to Matthew and Mark as well. So go ahead and take out your Bibles and turn with me there. We're going to be looking at a few verses there here in a moment. Now, when I was a younger Bible student, in my daily study, in my daily reading, I never skipped over this passage of the Transfiguration in my daily meditation and reading and study of Scripture. But I also never fully understood the significance of this glorious, majestic, mighty event in the life of Jesus Christ. The transfiguration of Christ is, in fact, the most significant event in between Jesus' birth and His death and resurrection, because the transfiguration of Christ offers us a clear glimpse into the future of God's entire providential plan, where everything is heading, and it reveals what God has in store for all of His faithful children. We're going to be unfolding that and looking at that this morning. So keep in mind with me this idea, seeing is becoming. As we look within the story of the Transfiguration, we are going to look at three things that we see within Jesus' Transfiguration that will help us to become what God intends for us to be. So look with me in Luke chapter 9, if you have your thumb on, I encourage you to keep your finger on Matthew 17 and Mark 9 as well. We're going to be flipping back and forth. First of all, Matthew chapter 17, Matthew's account of this. Matthew 17 verse 2 says this of the Transfiguration. It says, "And He, Jesus, was transfigured before them, and His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. If you look in Mark's account, in Mark chapter 9, it says that his clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. And in Luke's account, it says, the appearance of his face was altered, and his clothes became dazzling white. In this passage, we see Jesus for who he really is. That's the significance of this. We see Jesus in his full state of glory, the glorious Son of God, immensely valuable and worthy of honor and praise. He reveals his glorified future state after his death and resurrection in this passage. And when we behold these images of Jesus, his face shining and his clothes being intensely white as no one can bleach them, the purpose of these images are not solely to express his outward appearance. They're not just to teach us what Jesus looked like in the present moment, but rather the purposes of these images, his face shining and his clothes becoming white, the purpose of that is to illuminate not so much the outside appearance of Christ, but the inside of Jesus Christ, the heart of Jesus, the true character and nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we behold Jesus in his earthly state during the 33 years of his life while he was here on earth, the Gospels paint a picture of Jesus Christ in which he doesn't look like he's worth very much on earth. He was homeless for the majority of his ministry. He was poor. He was just a normal average Joe in physical appearance. He wasn't overly handsome or possessed fine clothing or fine things. He was a normal person in all respects, in all physical appearances. But we see within this story, within the transfiguration, the full manifestation of his glory, what his true measure of worth really is. We see who Jesus really is in this story. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 9, we see another image of God that's similar to this story of the transfiguration. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 9, it says, "As I looked, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing," in the Ancient of Days, talking about God, "and his clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, its wheels were burning fire." Now, oftentimes in Scripture, the color white is often used as a symbol of purity and holiness. We see that all throughout the Bible. Isaiah says in chapter 1, though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. The implication here is that God is so pure, God is so holy, that it is as if his character seeps out of his own person and bleaches his very clothing to a degree that it's not even possible for human beings to imitate. This is Jesus that we behold while he's transfigured. He is the pure, holy Son of the living God. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 16, we see another image of Jesus Christ that is similar to the transfiguration account. In verse 16 of Revelation 1, it says, "In his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength." One's shining face in Scripture is also used as a symbol to indicate one's glory, one's value and worth. When we think about God's glory, the glory of someone, glory is when the purity and value and worth of somebody, how pure and holy and blameless and valuable and honorable and worthy they are of someone, is on display for the entire world to see. That's glory. When one's value and worth and purity goes public for everybody to see. We see this clearly within the Olympic Games that come once every 4 years. When athletes win a victory, the athlete receives glory when their true honor, when their value and worth are revealed through their victory. And we often see paintings of them with shiny backgrounds and newspaper headlines that say glory to this person, and the giving of shiny gold and silver and bronze medal all indicate of the athlete's glory, their value and their worth and their honor on display for all to see because of their victory. God's glory is the same. It's His purity, His value, His worth and honor clearly seen among all of His creation. God's glory is a public revelation of His purity and holiness. Now, when we talk about the story of Jesus' transfiguration, the story is so important because it offers the reader a glimpse into the future and clearly reveals who Jesus is, the glorious Son of God, the chosen one, the Christ, the Messiah, the one that has been sent by God as the initiator of the ministry of reconciliation, who is worthy of praise beyond any other. He is so worthy and valuable that His face shines like the sun in full strength. And we see within the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus, we see His value, His worth, and His honor most clearly in His sacrifice for sins and His resurrection from the dead. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "By this we know love, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers." We know what kind of heart God possesses when we behold the lengths He is willing to go for a sinner like me. We know God's heart because what He was willing to do for every single one of us. He was willing to experience hell a billion times over for a people that saw Him as worthless and invaluable. His glory shines in full strength when we see His passion for humanity. We see the character of God, the heart of God, the attitude of God, the disposition of God, the wrath of God, and the love of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We often say in life, life is so very short, but oftentimes life can feel like in eternity. Oftentimes life doesn't feel short, it feels very long while trying to live this holy, devout Christian life. Our sinful nature pulls us in so many different directions. We have the desire most of the time to do what's right, but we lack the ability to carry it out daily. It seems like daily we're plagued with temptations to commit evil against God and are afflicted by our own inclination to sin due to the failure to live rightly in the past. How do we escape all of this? How do we become what Jesus wants us to be? How do we sustain lifelong devotion to Jesus when the gravity of the world strongly pulls me away from Him at each waking moment and at each turn of the corner? The answer lies in the story of Jesus' transfiguration. If we, brothers and sisters, if we want to sustain lifelong devotion to Jesus Christ, and not only to sustain, but grow in our allegiance to Jesus and grow and become more so His image, our minds need to be fixated on the glory of Jesus Christ, His infinite worth and value, and focused on the day when His kingdom will be fully consummated and He appears in the majesty of His glory. Seeing is becoming. We fight Satan by beholding the glory of Jesus Christ as he is revealed within this story, and keeping our hearts and our minds fixated on that glory as long as we live. That is how we sustain our devotion to Jesus and grow in a relationship with Jesus Christ, beholding his glory. Let's look at a second thing that we see within the story that will help us to become what God intends for us to be. We also see in this passage not only the glory and the majesty of Jesus, but the future glory of faithful human beings. Look with me in Luke chapter 9, verses 30 through 31. It says, "And behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem." Now, in verses 30 and 31, Moses and Elijah, the text says, also appear in glory. Now, the implication of Moses and Elijah appearing in glory is that they are similar in appearance to the Lord Jesus, who is shining in and with this glory. So, not only do we see a glimpse into the future of this glorified Jesus within this story, but we also see two human beings sharing in this divine nature of Jesus Christ that is going to be revealed in the future of the story. We see two human beings sharing in this divine glory. This passage reveals not only that Jesus will be glorified this way in the future, but other human beings will share in that glory as well. Flip back over with me to Matthew in the verse that we just read, verse 2, the first part of verse 2, Matthew 17, verse 2. It says, "And he was transfigured before them." Focus on that word transfigured with me. The Greek word rendered transfigured is metamorpho. And it's where we get our word metamorphosis in English. This word metamorpho is also used by the Apostle Paul to not only describe the nature of God, but also what human beings are undergoing as well that have submitted to the lordship of Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, Paul says this, "And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord," focus here with me, "are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another." Paul says here that everyone that has submitted to Jesus Christ are also undergoing this metamorphosis in their life. And the finished product of this metamorphosis is a state of glorious splendor patterned after Jesus Christ himself. Brothers and sisters, the implication of this is that God's glorious plan is for what happened to Jesus Christ at the transfiguration to also happen to us, also happen to human beings. Glorious transformation of heart and mind so that we reflect the value and worth of God. In John 17, 22, this is what Jesus prays for as he's fixing to be crucified by the Romans. It says, John 17, 22, Jesus says, "The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one." The ultimate goal of God is to be glorified through his Son, period. That is the goal of God's providence. That is the goal of God's work in the world. To be seen as he really is. To be seen as worthy and infinitely valuable. That is God's goal in the world, in working in the world. But a secondary goal of his is to allow human beings to be partakers with him in this glory. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." We are becoming something beautiful. We aren't there yet. The text says that work hasn't been completed. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 says that that work will be completed upon the day that Jesus Christ returns. But when God raises us and gives us these new glorified resurrected bodies, we will become the very righteousness of God, sharing in His divine glory. Peter says the same thing in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. God's glory is clearly seen when we behold His plan to allow sinful human beings that deserve wrath, that deserve punishment, that deserve an eternity in hell because of their sins, to be washed clean of all abominations and unrighteousness that they have committed in life, and receive the very glory of Jesus Christ Himself. That is God's plan for you. God's plan for you is to share in this glorious nature of Jesus Christ. Even though we're ravaged and marred by flaws and imperfections due to our sin, our eternal future will be marked by a state of pure holiness, immeasurable value, and indescribable worth as we share in the divine nature of Jesus Christ, reflecting His glory for an eternity. As we see this glorious truth, it helps us to become like Him. Lastly this morning, a third thing that we see within the story of the Transfiguration that will help us to become what God intends us to be is that we see the way to receive this future glory. Now, we know from a study of Scripture that all human beings have been created in the image of God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness." Now, one of the implications of being made in the image of God is that human beings are designed by God unlike any other creature, unlike any other creation that has been created in the cosmos. Human beings have been designed to reflect His glory, His value, His worth, and His honor in the world. However, we know we don't do that perfectly. We have fallen. We have given in to sin, and we are not what God originally intended for us to be, to reflect His glory in its full power. We have allowed our image to be distorted because of our sins. Now, as we look at Jesus on the mountain with His face shining like the sun, we are witnessing what a true image of God looks like. That's what Jesus, what we see Jesus in His glorified state. That's what it looks like truly to be an image of God. A true reflection of the glory of God is seen within Jesus Christ. Jesus is the true image of God. He's the, as the Hebrew writer says in chapter 1, He is the radiance of the glory of God. If God is the sun, then Jesus is like the rays of the sun that reflect the glory of the sun. Jesus is the exact imprint of the nature of God. He is a representation of what humanity was supposed to be. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, it says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." Jesus was the only human that reflected the glory of God in the way that God intended. And here's how we did it. Because He fully aligned His will with the will of Almighty God. That is what enabled Him to become the true image of God. Because He forsook His own will, what He wanted, His desires, and He aligned His will with the will of the Spirit of God. And that is when he was... That is when we see his true nature shining as the sun. In John 17, verses 4 through 5, it says, I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. No other human has done what Jesus has done. No other. No other human being has lived as the true image bearer of God. He is the ultimate image of Almighty God that fully reflects his pure glory and remains as our righteous intercessor, the mediator between God and sinful humanity. And we, you and I, we partner with God. We receive and reflect his glory only when we follow the pattern of Jesus Christ. Only when we listen to him and align our will with his. In the story, if you can remember, that Derek read for us a moment ago, when the cloud of God came over the disciples, he spoke and he said, this is my beloved son. This is my true image, my chosen one, he says. Listen to him. That is how we receive the glory of God and become his true image. Listen to him. Align your will with his. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 through 24, Paul says, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and put on the new self created after the likeness of God in the true righteousness and holiness. In other words, Paul is telling us to put away your selfish will. Your will that defines good and evil, right and wrong, based upon your own terms and the way you see things, put that away and align your will with the will of God, and you will become what you were created to be, a true image and reflection of Almighty God. And to receive this glory, we have to do exactly what God said from the cloud. Listen to him. Align your will with his own. Now, as we close this morning, here's just a few practical points that we can take away from this story of the Transfiguration and become like Jesus more so as we enter the new year. Number one, grow in your understanding of the value of Jesus Christ. Find him more pleasing than all of life's pursuits. I believe that all of us are wired to seek things that we enjoy. We are wired to seek things that are pleasing to us and bring us pleasure. If you find little or no pleasure in God, then you will make little effort to behold the face of Jesus Christ. It's just true. The heart of Christian holiness is to see Christ as a treasure beyond any other treasure. Also, fix your mind on not only the glory of Jesus Christ, but your own future glory. Set your heart on that day when we will become like him and share in his glorious. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Let that day come. That's the day we're hoping for, to be resurrected from the dead and receive new glorified bodies and to be one in every way with him and share in his holiness and glory. And lastly, this morning, listen to him. Listen to him in all things. Surrender your definition of right and wrong, your definition of pleasure and unhappiness, and be transformed, as Paul says, by the renewing of your mind. Seeing is becoming. Seeing is becoming. The only way that you will become what God wants you to be is if you set your eyes on the glory of Jesus Christ. So, brothers and sisters, let us all, with unveiled face, as Paul says, behold this glory of Jesus Christ together as we enter into the new year and commit to seeing Him as He really is and being changed by Him continually. If you have any need this morning, if you wish prayers from the church, or if you wish to begin a relationship with Him, you know that you have sinned, you know that you have sinned against God, you've repented and you desire to come forward and to confess faith in Him and be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Why don't you do that this morning if you have any need while we stand and while we sing?